You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is a Friday, we like to say around here. Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
I am.
You got that explosive
applause. Oh, here
applause.
It is. There it is. Friday.
Congratulations to everyone. You have made it to the weekend. We are finishing up the afternoon, and you will be headed to the house. So anyway, weekend and Friday. So you took little man bowling last night.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. It was a blast.
Okay, so did he like granny roll it?
I mean, he did it down. They have these ramps.
The little ramp things.
They did the ramp things, yeah. So yeah. He and his friend did the ramp thing. And I will say that I came in last place.
It's like a basketball bracket.
Exactly. So I came in last place.
I haven't even looked at the bracket, speaking of which. My bracket is completely destroyed. Oh,
it
good.
Is.
I'm in 75th place.
We may have to talk about it just real quick because it's the last games this weekend.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll tell you what. We'll finish up the monologue here in a minute. We'll jump back onto brackets. Yeah, we got a great show laid up. Man, a full show. Like, I'm going to go ahead and say up front, I have a hard time believing that I will get through all three dippers today. But we'll just see.
We'll see.
Because at 3 o'clock today, Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty is calling in to talk about the legal side of the Trump indictment. And then at 3:30, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, is calling in to talk about the political side of the Trump indictment. And then 4 o'clock, we couldn't do it yesterday. We had to do it today. Got to do it. Boomer and McQueen at 4 o'clock.
Woo.
Whoop, whoop. And so that's, I mean, between all that, I've still got a triple dipper, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that we are going to run with on today's show. Number one, lawfare. You've heard about warfare. We're looking at the legal world being used in a warfighting sense. It's lawfare. So we're going to talk about the Trump indictment. We're going to break it down from a variety of different angles. Not going to belabor all the points you've already heard. I'm going to try and tell you the big picture and be able to see the nuances of it. Lawfare. That's number one of the triple dipper. And then number two, did you hear what happened in Tennessee's state capitol yesterday and the day before and probably today? I'm calling it insurrection 2.0 because surely the standard has been set. Now we understand what an insurrection actually is. And, oh, well, hey, you can't have that. Insurrection 2.0, Tennessee State Capitol. We'll talk about it. And then third, tone-deaf politics. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. So most of my stuff today is going to be wind up being geared towards the national side of things. Tone-deaf politics. It beats all I've ever seen the number of times the Biden administration just apparently can't read the room. Like, cannot figure out. It's like that awkward kid who doesn't have social skills trying to ask a girl to the prom. It's just like, wow. Tone-deaf politics. We'll talk about that. Number three on the triple dipper. Well, let me jump over to my opening comments for a minute. So I ought to start off by saying these are weird times in which we live. Weird. And to some degree, these are unprecedented times. So like a transgender murders six innocent people at a Christian school, and a mere few days later, the president of the United States issues a proclamation claiming that transgenders represent the soul of America and declaring today to be the National Day of Transgender Visibility. Today, the National Day of Transgender Visibility, whatever that means. In D.C., Democrats have harangued conservatives for the past 2 years over the January 6 riots at the U.S. Capitol, claiming it was an insurrection. People have been locked up for the past few years without due process because they were allegedly impeding the flow of governance. But yet, yesterday, gun control activists forced their way into the Tennessee State Capitol, actually blockading legislators in their restrooms and requiring state troopers to intervene. Hey, you know, peaceful protest, right? But then to cap off the week of weirdness, former President of the United States, Donald Trump, was indicted Thursday evening by an activist state district attorney on supposed federal campaign finance documentation or violations. A state DA on federal campaign finance documents. What? Yeah, violations that were already dismissed by the DOJ and the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. That same state-level DA, Alvin Bragg, backed by George Soros with a stated policy of not prosecuting crime, has been publicly stating his bias and dislike of Trump and even campaigned on the idea of getting Trump. But hey, nothing to see here. Just a good guy sticking it to the bad guy, right? Because no one's above the law. Haven't you heard? Well, we haven't seen the actual indictment yet. When they unseal it, which will likely be next week, we will know for sure what the actual charges are. But for now, what we know is that there are alleged payments made to two women, both of whom were porn stars, who allegedly had affairs with Donald Trump. So, DA Alvin Bragg will not prosecute paying for sex in the form of prostitution, but he will prosecute paying someone not to talk about sex that was consensual. These are weird times indeed. Now, before anyone gets uppity about me stating it that way, no, I am not condoning such behavior if, in fact, it occurred. And by the way, Trump denies it. But I have to ask, if, in fact, Trump paid someone not to talk about an affair and it benefited his campaign by doing so, then why are we not also seeing charges pressed for Hillary Clinton paying to have the Steele dossier prepared and disseminated to benefit her campaign? Because that's the only reason why it was done. Or Joe Biden having the assistance of the media to shut down the Hunter Biden laptop story during his campaign, which benefited his campaign, and we all know it. There should be no wonder by anyone as to why conservatives feel like we're looking at a two-tiered system of justice. But let me step back and address some things about the DA's efforts. As an attorney myself, I have focused my two decades of legal practice to civil law. But within my firm, we have lawyers that practice civil, criminal, domestic, guardianship, real estate, bankruptcy, you name it. I once had a client who got a good mad going against somebody and told me he wanted to sue him just out of pure principle. I told him it wasn't a good idea. I wouldn't do it. He demanded to know why not. I took time to inform him that lawyers actually have rules of professional conduct that we are bound to, rules that govern our profession, and that filing lawsuits purely for the purpose of revenge is called nothing but revenge, and that if it flies in the face of what is or should be allowed. I also let him know that in Alabama, we got a thing called the Alabama Litigation Accountability Act. It allows for someone to sue you back to recoup their own damages if they can prove that it was a frivolous lawsuit to begin with. Well, my client was still mad, but he realized I meant it when I said I wasn't going to help him use the court just to beat up on people because he was mad. So he slowed down a bit. Until the next situation arose. On another occasion, he had a right to sue a company for committing wrongs against his company, and he was right. And we filed suit, and it took several years, but we finally won. The case settled at mediation, and he was happy as a clam, even signed the settlement agreement. Then he got mad again, and he wanted to renege on it. And I told him he had just entered into a good faith agreement, that he would open himself up to being sued himself if he didn't follow through. Well, that argument between me and him took several months. On one other occasion, the same client was just sure that someone had wronged him and once again wanted to sue. This time he was also right, so we started the process, at which point he told me he was going to file a police report and also try to press criminal charges, at which point I once again had to take a deep breath and tell him what he did not want to hear, namely that those same rules of professional conduct once again stipulate a lawyer may not threaten criminal action against someone in order to gain the upper hand in a civil action. So, no, I would not be helping him to press charges just to make our civil matter look good. Well, sometime later, I found out he filed a police report anyway without me knowing. And needless to say, I'm not his attorney anymore. My point in telling you all this is that I am an attorney. And as an attorney, I believe strongly that my job is to zealously pursue and defend my client's interests. But I also know that sometimes I have to advise my clients that what they feel is not the same as what they can sue for. This is why lawyers are sometimes referred to as counselors. Because we're actually giving counsel, both good and bad, things you want to hear and things you don't. But I should also say that I take pride in my profession. As an officer of the court, I was sworn in having already provided all the information necessary for background checks and fingerprinting. It was like getting a top secret clearance again. I'm sworn to also maintain my license by taking annual continuing legal education, which must by law include ethics training. And I'm not alone. It's the same for everybody who practices law. And maybe I'm just a simple Alabama lawyer. I'm not the district attorney of Manhattan with George Soros funding my campaign, but I suspect that Alvin Bragg is supposed to be held to the same type of rigorous standards and rules of conduct. New York might be a more liberal venue than beautiful North Alabama, but nonetheless, the even and unbiased application of the law is supposed to be the rule. And sometimes, it's not just the client that needs to hear things they don't want to hear. Sometimes the lawyer needs to be told things that go contrary to their notions. Well, maybe the lawyer needs to step back, objectively look at a case or a prosecution, make sure they don't have their own grievances or emotions or politics or prejudices wrapped up in it. Maybe somebody should have done that with Alvin Bragg. Somebody should have told him the practice of law is not about vendettas. Lawyers should not be engaged in lawfare. We'll see where it goes. Right now, no, my sense is D.A. Alvin Bragg may have a reckoning coming his way. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it's absolutely an abuse. You know, we get mad when we hear about doctors doing unnecessary surgeries or prescribing unnecessary medications. We get mad when we hear about, you know, CPAs that help cook the books. Shouldn't we also get mad, though, when we hear about lawyers, prosecutors even, who press forward on things that they shouldn't even be touching because they're not legit, they're frivolous, or they're just done for revenge and vendettas? The practice of law is not supposed to be that. And me speaking as a 20-year attorney, I can just tell you, it dishonors the profession. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, sometimes a head cold makes your voice sound better on the radio.
I think so. Is that deeper?
Like kind of sexy and smooth right now until I cough, and then it's a whole different world. Hey, listen, we got tons of stuff going on right now. I'm watching the news. I don't know is Minnesota still even part of our nation? Or are they on the backside of Mars? I'm not sure what's happening there, but story breaking right now, Minneapolis leaders have now approved sweeping police reforms. Okay, this is a state, by the way, that just declared itself as a sanctuary for transgender surgeries on minors, and I believe they're also the most pro-abortion state now in the nation. It's the home of Ilhan Omar. Is it safe for a conservative? Can you wear a MAGA hat in downtown Minneapolis? I mean, if you want to go watch a Twins game, can you wear a MAGA hat? I don't know. Do they still care about baseball there? But how tone deaf is that, though, by the way? Just this week, you have police show themselves to be the shining example of what happens in a disaster and why you need them on the streets. And what do? They come out today with, you know, the whole thing about reforming the way we do policing in Minneapolis. All right. Well, good luck with that, big city. Looking over the text line. Text line is open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. John from Huntsville just said good stuff about the monologue. Appreciate, and he says he didn't fall asleep today. That was good. Yay, I didn't put him to sleep. Thanks, John. Jeff from Hazel Green says, am I the only one that thinks that George Soros is a threat to America and should have stacks of charges against him? He's been banned from other countries. Totally agree, Jeff. He is a threat to America. And he's also, he looks like a member of The Walking Dead. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how that dude is still messing things up because I'm not sure why or how he is still mobile just the way he looks. Badger from Athens says, happy Friday. Awesome opening. Appreciate you, Badger. Thank you very much for kind words. Louie from Birmingham Let's see what he says here. As someone who went the roundabout way of getting this degree and will take the bar again for my second time this July at the age of 43, that was a good pep talk for starting my bar prep again. Thank you. Hoping to do better. You will, man. Don't worry about it. Listen, the vast majority of people who take the bar don't pass the first time. So get in there and get her done. Take those bar. By the way, bar review courses, PMBR, Barbary, I took them. So, Lou, is it Louie or Lewis? I'm not sure which, but if you have the chance to take those bar review courses and you haven't already done so, I say get her done. Anyway, thank you, by the way, for being willing to stick it out and go the long road through to get your degree. That's big doings. All right. Hey, listen, we got to talk about the bracket for a minute.
All right. I'm down.
All right. You are down, way down the rankings.
I'm way down there.
We're both way down right now. Way on down. I'm getting down. We're getting jiggy.
That's right.
All right. But you got it about calculated out.
I have it calculated out, I believe. I think there are only three people that can actually win this thing.
Really?
I believe so.
Out of the scads of people that we have in there, you're saying three.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm accurate.
We're not going to talk about a whole lot of names, but I do know that one of them is still McQueen.
One of them is McQueen. Yeah.
Do you want to? What do you think? Should we say who we think the three are?
Elisa. I mean, they should know. They probably did the homework.
All right. What you got? All right.
Elisa, TK, and Michael.
Elisa, TK, Michael.
Elisa, TK. She's in first right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And she's tracking hard right now.
She's tracking hard. The only way that she can win is if UConn beats out Miami.
Right.
And then loses the championship game.
So we're in Final Four through the weekend, and then we got the championship game is what, Tuesday? Wednesday?
Monday. Yeah, I believe it's Monday.
Mm-hmm. Monday. We already have some swag set aside for people who win.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, bud. All right, so we got some prizes. We got some right side swag. We'll be sending to the winners at the top. So there's no chance of a tie, you don't think, at this point?
No chance of a tie.
Wow.
No chance of a tie.
Out of that many people?
Yep.
Okay.
Michael could win if UConn wins out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So Michael could beat out Elisa TK.
Mm-hmm. And the only way McQueen can win is if Miami beats UK in the Final Four game.
Dude, stranger things have already happened.
I know. We'll see. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Golly, that is madness. Oh, there you go. March madness.
March madness.
Look at that. Just coined that phrase. Oh, man. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We will see, and we'll be making our declarations. I guess, will they finish before we get off the air? No, they're probably a night game
on
Monday.
It'll be in the evening.
All right. So it'll be Tuesday before we know who wins.
That's right.
All right. Hey, by the way, I got to say, thank you, Boomer. I'm saying it in front of God and all them ruffians. Thank you for setting that up. That was very. He comes into me and goes, I think we need to do a March Madness bracket. And I'm picturing paper and
everywhere,
whiteboards on the wall. I'm like, I don't know about that. And he's like, no, it's easy. We'll set it up and I'll do it. No fuss, no muss. Yeah. Next thing I know, he's got a button on the website and we've got like 190 people tagging in.
Good times.
That is way cool. All right, we'll keep you.
Thanks.
So, Russell from Rural Route Number 1 here in Alabama says, so after that opening, I assume that my idea of the Texas AG indicting Mayorkas for human trafficking is a no-go? No. If you can actually prove dereliction of duty or intent to harm, then I'd say you got it. But, wow, we'll see. I do think Mayorkas is facing impeachment. Whole different deal. All right, you guys, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. From Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, way down south to Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. You like how I mix that up, Boomer? I said it in the opposite order.
Impressive.
Did you catch that I was doing that?
I was pushing too many buttons.
You got a lot of buttons over there.
Yeah, I got a few.
You got a few. By the way, I will make note. So the other day, what day was that when the power kicked?
It was a couple days ago, so Wednesday.
Yeah. So we're sitting here, and all of a sudden, boom, we go out. Like, what just happened? And the signal that we're sending just froze. It just, like, stopped. And Boomer jumps into action. He's, like, hitting buttons, pushing things. Where's my mouse? Why is my mouse not working? And next thing I know, he's rebooting, got us back up. We were on the air, lickety-split.
Yeah, yeah. It was 4 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad.
No.
I got to get that time down.
All things considered.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty good. I was
you're like,
all right, tell me what I can do. I'm the guy who just says, did you reboot, sir? Well, you did.
You got it up.
All right. Hey, the text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you want to text in, you can call in. We're talking right now about lawfare, about the idea of the weaponization of the legal system, specifically with regards to what's going on right now with former President Donald Trump. We've got any number, and the people are already texting in. I'll get to those here in just a minute. I will tell you there's a story on 1819 right now. My friend Barry Moore, Congressman Barry Moore, we served together in the state legislature, and he makes no bones about it. He believes that he was a target of rogue prosecution at one point, back when they were indicting and trying former State House Speaker Mike Hubbard. Barry Moore inexplicably got swept up in some of that. And they said that he had lied to the grand jury. He hadn't lied to the grand jury. Barry just went down there, told him what he knew. I think the actual implication was because there was more that came out later that he didn't remember, they said he had lied. Well, he was actually indicted for lying to the grand jury, and he had to go through the process of proving his own innocence, which he did, and now successfully ran for Congress, you know, with basically like, you know, thumbing his nose back at the people who tried to take him out for being an ultra conservative. He's now a member of the Freedom Caucus and doing great things up in D.C. He ain't playing. He said basically at his office. You know, there's the old saying about how a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich if you say all the right stuff to the grand jury. He's giving out free ham sandwiches today up in D.C., just so you know. I love that. I mean, that's just having fun with it right there. Just saying, this is how much we think of your indictment. He says, basically, welcome to the club, Donald Trump. He says, in honor of the fact that the Manhattan DA could indict a ham sandwich, next I will be handing them out tomorrow in Longworth 1504 at noon. All are welcome. He's literally got an invitation made up and posted on his social media, giving out free ham sandwiches to people who stop by. That's just funny. But the whole situation is really not funny in a lot of ways. And we can kid about it. We can joke about it. We can talk about it. We can pundit about it. But the reality is this: this ain't real funny. Because here's the beef I got with this. If you have to manipulate the charges to make them fit, like literally, you're doing legal gymnastics here. If you're having to wrangle and twist a state charge into a federal charge in order to get it over the misdemeanor statute of limitations and into a felony statute of limitations in order to keep something going, and it took you this long, this many years with a grand jury on something that is actually pretty trivial, then you got issues. And you got issues that are not just small. You got issues that are big with your case. But if they can do this to a billionaire former president of the United States, they can do it to anybody. And one of the things that I'm looking forward to is seeing Donald Trump mount his defense, which we'll talk about in more detail here in a few minutes. But, granted, I believe he's innocent. And granted, I also believe that he has everything it takes to fight back. Not everybody does. That's why you've got people that are stuck in jail from the January 6th situation, because they're just good, common, everyday folks who don't have the income to fight back like he does. So I'm looking forward to his case, but I'm also looking forward to his case because, once again, like I said, it is an amazing thing to think that if they can do this to him, if they can get away with it, then they can do it to anybody. I got a call on line one. I'll take it real quick. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
I'd be doing a lot better if I didn't see all that crap last night. Listen, the cat's away, the mouse will play. Or should I say the rats? That's what they are. They're scum dwellers. Listen, here's the deal, my friend, is that this is the way it's going to be. So, okay, Republicans, put your big boy pants on, get your hard hat on, but also still present the fig leaf, all right? Present peace, present let's get along. But when they don't get along, pull out that sledgehammer and hit them in the skull.
Just kick them right in the jimmy and call it done.
Yeah, that's right. Kick them right in the, hey, the 14 karat gold jewels, my friend. I'm telling you, this is ridiculous. This is what happens. It's guys like me and the rest of the people like me in this country, all we want is fair, honest politics and politicians. Term limits, I'm telling you, put them on a boat in the middle of an ocean, throw some scum out, and sink the thing.
Is that your version of term limits?
Well, that's what happens when you step out of bounds. I think they don't care, man. They get away with it. And that's not right, because everybody in this country deserves a piece of the pie. We're all part of this country, all right? We all make it work. There's people that can't work. You got to help them. People that can, you go to work. All right, that's how it is. But my God, you know, this is lawlessness, okay? And you've got a guy in office right now. Oh, my God, his bank account's got millions in it. Guess who from, okay? Yeah. We all know where it's from, and his son's the middleman. He's the big guy that gets the cash, the 10% off the top. Come on, everybody. Wake up. And why can't they be prosecuted? But no, they prosecute us because we are free-willed Americans that want what's best for the country and the people in it. And what's wrong with that?
No, that's a great monologue on your own right there. But let me ask you a question, though, Dan. In your opinion, does this help or hurt Trump's chances of getting elected?
You know what I don't understand is that he served as president. I don't care if DeSantis or Trump gets either one. I like them both. But here's the deal. He's already served his time, right now. I think this is, if he did this, it would be a landslide. He says, okay, I've done my thing. I showed you prosperity. I show how to get there. We were there. Now, I'm willing to back up and let somebody else come into play like Ron DeSantis, you know, promoting and say, I want him to run as president. I will back him. My supporters back this man because he's younger than I am, at least, what, 30 years younger? 5 years younger. So he's going to be good for two terms. All right. The bottom line is we got to stop doing the old thing and bring the younger people in. That's going to benefit this country in the long run. Do I think it helps them? It hurts them. I don't know. I really don't care. I just want honesty and I want a good representative as a president. And either way, Donald Trump or you get DeSantis, one of the two.
All right, fair enough. Dan, I got another call to take, so thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, as always. Have a good weekend, man. All right, line two, Jeff from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, how's your tooth doing today, bud?
It's doing pretty good, man. As long as it hangs in there until I get my implant, I guess I'll be all right.
Oh, boy. What's on your mind?
When can you charge a prosecutor with malicious prosecution?
It depends on the venue. So I was looking that up this morning. It depends on what state you're in, what the state laws allow. But usually what has to happen is you have to first get through the prosecution, prove your innocence, which is part of the justification for then filing suit in response. So like I said, it depends on your state law. But in this case, I think if there's a state law in New York that allows for a case of malicious prosecution, this is going to be a classic example of it.
Yeah. I mean, Now, can a federal prosecutor, any federal prosecutor, now can they prosecute Hunter Biden for falsifying records on his handgun?
Federal prosecutor, absolutely, it's a federal crime to lie on your application for a background check.
Well, we know that that's happened.
Oh, we
and
do.
We know that, you know, so how come we don't have a conservative prosecutor just go ahead and file charges against him? Would anybody else?
I don't know. I think it may be a venue question, and maybe he's safely ensconced in a place where there's no DA that wants to touch it. You know, there was talk for a while there about the state of Delaware. The state attorney general was actually looking into some stuff. That's kind of gone quiet. And I think that Congress is doing what it can right now. I don't know, man. It's part of that two-tier justice system that we were talking about earlier in my monologue. You hate to see this kind of thing because, daggum, Hillary paid for the Steele dossier. Well, that helped her campaign, didn't it? And then you've got Biden getting all the benefit of the Hunter Biden laptop story being suppressed for the love. But
yeah, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, I think we need to start voting. You know, unless the prosecutor's going to do what Alvin Bragg did, he needs to come out and our prosecutors need to say, yeah, we're going to put Hillary in jail. We're going to get Hunter and Biden in jail. We're going to prosecute the Biden crime family. You know, hey, I'll give money to those people and let them go do their campaign promise like Bragg is doing right now.
Well, and I'll say this real quick because I got another caller to get, but part of me thinks too, if they had actually, you know, taken action against Hillary for what she did, then the world would think this campaign against Trump wouldn't seem quite so obtuse. But when you don't do anything about one, but you do it about the other, that just sets everybody on edge. Hey, Jeff, I got to run, man. I got somebody else holding on the line, okay? I'm going to run out of time here. Line three, Alan Hartzell. How you doing, man?
I'm surviving. How about you?
I'm good, sir.
Like I said, they're already going. I watched the news last night. They're already going after DeSantis now. Oh. He did this, he did that. I don't know whether you've seen the commercials or not, but he's supposed to be sneaky and all that stuff. Let's get Elizabeth Warren for lying about being a Native American.
Yeah.
She didn't do that. Let's get not Elizabeth Warren, but Maxine Waters not living in her district. What about the inside trading of Nancy Pelosi and her husband? They already know that. None of that seems to matter.
Well,
it's good to be a Democrat, ain't it?
It always gives you the edge, apparently, in the legal system, but not always. I mean, I can look back at some venues like, you know, Alabama's had just as many Democrat governors go to jail as they've had Republicans, if you know what I'm saying. We've seen some things, but in other places, and think about where they live. Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, San Francisco. What are the odds a DA is going to come out and indict them there? And then, some of the others, it just depends on where they are and whether somebody would be willing to pursue
Schumer,
it.
Let's throw Schumer in that. What about Schiff? Schiff's been lying for years. So is Schumer.
Well,
but nothing's ever said anything about him.
It's still got to be
a crime. Like I said, it's good to be a Democrat.
It's still got to be a crime, but you're right. There's a bunch of things that are just like smoke. There's got to be fire. But, well, listen, man, I'm up against a break. Alan, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Boomer,
yes,
take
sir.
Us to the
Have
break.
Have a good day.
You too, sir. We'll go to the break right now. We'll come right back. Stay tuned, too, for the top of the hour. We're going to have Matt Clark on. And, Boomer, I haven't even touched my resources yet. Like,
nope.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be a viral day.
Oh, yes.
Where I don't not even own my own show. We're just going to go with it, man. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll go right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one sound bite at a time. I'm going to go to the text line just for a minute here. Rita from Scottsboro texted in. What'd she say? Says, quick question. If the Republicans were to win the White House in 24, does that mean that what Bragg did to Trump could start a precedent that would open the door to prosecution of, quote, the big guy? Yeah, I mean, and Rita, your point is well taken, but then the question becomes, we don't want to just be like them. If there's guilt, let's find out. And that's understandable. But if it's just a vendetta, and I'm not saying Reid is saying that. I'm just saying I don't want us to be. But that's part of the problem is for years, Republicans have always been, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to maintain decorum. Democrats could care less about decorum. They're just out there scratching and clawing right now. And I don't, you know, bottom line is this. If we have actual proof that the big guy took money from China or Ukraine or anywhere else for that matter and then got into office and didn't report it, yeah, then absolutely. It's not even really a precedent-setting thing because what's happening here is justice just has to be served. But it's just amazing to me. We're talking about taking money from a foreign nation and doing all the things that we're literally investigating right now openly, not just like Russia collusion, Steele dossier. No, we're talking about taking money. We have bank records already to show the Biden family getting money through a firm that took money from China. Come on. Anyway, Raven from Russellville texted in and says, Phil, I and lots of others with my skill set, by the way, I believe that Raven has a particular set of skills, are willing to step up to provide security for schools at no cost to taxpayers. We stand ready, just saying. You know, that's going to be an interesting point is how do we handle the idea of citizens being willing to be deputized for the sole, it's a cost issue to schools. Having SROs costs money. What if we did like a lot of churches do where they had, you know, internal security that was largely volunteer? I don't know. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I'm tired of hearing people like Nancy and Joe saying nobody's above the law. If that's true, then why hadn't Joe and Hunter been arrested yet? Wait, I think something's coming. I just have the sense that they're not through with that situation. Jimmy from Moulton says, the whole indictment is this Oscar Mayer baloney. I get you. Champ from Decatur says, I'm sorry, Champ from Decatur was just working on watching on the browser, watching the live stream. By the way, the website's got tons of stuff on it. So, yeah, this show we broadcast live every day, 3 hours, AM and FM, across the northern half of the state from Clanton all the way to the Tennessee line. But if you want to watch the live stream, we live stream the show daily. That's on our website, rightsideradio.org. We also, by the way, on that same website, we can pick up the live audio feed in case you're not getting a good signal, even though we have an overly broad range of AM FM capability across North Alabama. If you can't get it clear enough on your AM FM, just go to the website, rightsideradio.org. Listen to it through the live feed. And new thing that we're doing. Every day we prepare the show, I've got tons of resources that I have gathered to add to the discussions. All the dippers got their own stuff. And what we started doing now is at the bottom of that live feed page, Boomer has taken and put all of the resource links. So if you hear a story you want to follow up on, it's on the website. Go to the resources tab. You will find it. What else have I got on here? Brian from Huntsville goes, he saw this or not. Boomer. Brian from Huntsville says he heard Jeff and Dan call in, Wolverine Dan. He says, Jeff and Dan, I dearly want a ruffian picnic someday. A ruffian picnic. That's I like it. Sam from Hartsell, with regards to whether this helps or hurts Trump, he says, I think it both helps and hurts Trump. Okay, that's fair. David from Huntsville says, Dan is right, Wolverine Dan. Best new Republican pres candidate with Trump supporting the ticket, no more drama. Okay, that's David from Huntsville. There you go. Samah, the truck driver, wants Trump as a VP, not as a P. Ooh. He wants Trump as the VP. Interesting. Paula from Lacey Springs saying some very kind words. Paula, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. And then Brandy from Athens, who did quite well in the bracket for quite a while, Boomer. Yes. I guess she's dropped down from the top. Yeah, okay. Anyway, she says, Happy Fri-yay, Phil and Boomer, and all the ruffians out there. So anyway, that's from Brandy from Athens. All right, listen, I've not even had a chance.
You haven't scratched
the
surface.
This is like just wow. All right, so texts are blowing up. Calls are already coming in. And coming up here in just a couple minutes, we'll take the break. And we'll come right back. Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty giving us his perspective as another attorney who does highbrow stuff. What does he see in this indictment? What are his thoughts on it? Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there, you.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio, local, state, national. Sometimes we cover all of it, even the international. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. So, listen, we're on this number one of the this is a big story. This, I'll be honest with you, this is in the legal world, in the political world, this is one of the stories of the decade. Make no bones about it. I mean, you might look at it and go, oh, they're just out to get Trump again. No, think about it. They just indicted a former president of the United States while he is running for re-election. This is a huge story. This is the stuff that banana republics do, and so we're gonna keep breaking this down a little bit. And to help me do that, I mean, you heard me a while ago talk about, you know, my thoughts on it as an attorney and what I feel in terms of the rules of professional conduct and how lawyers have to maintain a certain level of decorum and abide by the rules of conduct and the rules of ethics and how I feel about that. And then we've had any number of y'all already call and text in. We haven't even gotten into my resources yet, but I want to bring in another lawyer, somebody who is solid on constitutional law and other matters of legal jurisprudence, and that's my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. So without further ado, let me just bring him in. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, Phil. I am doing great. I am not being subject to a clown show prosecution like our former president. So all things considered, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good enough, man. I can tell how you feel about it just from that intro. But talk to me. So what do you see in this thing, legally speaking? What jumps out at you?
I see an absolutely sanctionable prosecution and a bar complaint in this prosecutor's future. This is an absolute disgrace, Phil. I have been sitting here, over the last couple of days, trying to look under a bunch of different rocks to see, all right, am I missing something, or is this just a bad, bad case? And as far as I can tell, it's just a terrible case, and it is a patently political prosecution. And, I didn't hear your comments, but just right before you brought me on, you talked about the rules of professional conduct. Prosecutors generally are not supposed to bring cases unless you have at least probable cause. You know, it's completely different in the civil realm where, you know, all we need is to be able to make a good faith argument for our client. So if you try to put that in mathematical terms, you really only got to be about, I don't know, maybe 25% certain before you sue somebody civilly. But the standard of proof is higher when it comes to prosecutions, because that's a lot more serious. And he is nowhere close to being able to justify indicting President Trump. So it's a clown show, and this case needs to be thrown out on a motion to dismiss if there's going to be any semblance of having a fair and impartial system left.
Well, I agree. So Matt, I was going to get into that, some of that with you. I would expect, and for the benefit of the audience, both of us being lawyers, let's bandy some things about. Let's say you and I are the legal team for President Trump, and I wouldn't mind having that retainer right now, I can just tell you. But but we've got the situation here where, I mean, there's going to be an arraignment proceeding. We expect he's going to be taken in or offer himself up next Tuesday is what we're hearing. But I would suspect there would be preliminary motions immediately, a motion to dismiss, maybe a motion to change the venue to get it out of New York City where, you know, like 75% of the voters voted for Biden. And then I would also say potentially a motion for the judge to recuse. What do you think?
Well, I think out of all of those, the motion to dismiss would definitely be the strongest. I think there may be multiple grounds for being able to beat this. Number one, from what I understand, and it's a little tricky to tell, but it looks like the prosecutor's theory of the case here is he's trying to bootstrap a federal claim onto the state, and the trial court should not have subject matter jurisdiction over that. So the trial judge ought to be able to consider that and have that thrown out without needing to hear any evidence. Another really strong argument that I think the president has is the statute of limitations has long since expired on this. I've been sitting here doing the math trying to figure out, okay, if I was a prosecutor, what cases could I make that the statute of limitations has not expired? But even under the best case scenario, if my math is right, the statute of limitations would have expired in January of this year, and that's if we're really, really, really stretching it. So I think for both of those reasons, President Trump should be able to file a motion to dismiss to get the case thrown out. And if the trial judge, you know, has any semblance of propriety about him, he should grant it immediately.
Well, and that's the situation we got right now. The trial judge. What's the trial judge going to be like? Is this trial judge someone who recognizes? I mean, and I hope so. You want to be able to trust the system. You want to be able to trust the competency and the clarity of mind of a judge sitting on the bench, because, you know, you're supposed to have blindfolded justice, right? But in this particular situation, this judge is going to be under an inordinate amount of public pressure as well. And you know, I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks some judges will be like, man, get this out of my courtroom. Others will be like, bring it in and bring the cameras. What do you think?
That's an excellent question, Phil. I think you're right. The amount of pressure that this judge is going to be facing is going to be immense. So I think I would not be surprised if, you know, the judge maybe even recuses himself without a motion. We had something like that happen in our case that we filed against Governor Ivey and Scott Harris for the COVID lockdowns in Montgomery. It was originally assigned to Montgomery Circuit Judge Jimmy Poole, and we didn't make any motion for him to recuse himself, but just when he saw what the case was about, he says, you know, I've been a little bit outspoken with what I think about COVID. Because of that, I think, you know, people might question my impartiality if I stay on this, so I'm just going to back out. Again, we never asked him to do that. He just did it himself.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised if, you know, I don't even know who the judge is or what his backstory is here, but I would not at all be surprised if, you know, a judge tried to find a way out like that if he could, because I think most judges would not want to sit on this case.
No, I would agree. Now, let me ask you this. I don't know what your background has been entirely in your practice, but I don't practice criminal law per se. I mean, my firm does, but me personally, I've always chosen to remain in the civil arena. But that being said, you know, there are times when you can make motions for things, one of which is if someone has a federal question inserted into a state case, you can file a notice of removal and have it taken up to federal court. Can you do that in this particular case? If Trump finds that there's no way to get out of the, you know, the venue that is like somewhat tainted or poisoned for his, you know, benefit, can he file a petition to have this removed to federal court since it involves his time running for federal office? And allegedly, now we're going to find out later when they unseal it, charges that are federal in nature.
That's an excellent question, Phil. So I've only done a little bit of criminal law in my practice too. We just got a charges thrown out against a street preacher in Prattville who was being charged with disorderly conduct for preaching the word on a public sidewalk using an amplifier without getting the proper permit first. But that was ACLL's first criminal case that we took. But as far as like the procedures for removal, I don't know. It definitely in civil cases you can. If there's a federal question involved, you don't even need to get the court's permission. That's just your right to be able to remove it. But as far as, you know, how it works criminally, honestly, I don't know. I don't think it would be in his best interest, though, to do that. I mean, maybe if he felt like the New York state system was so unfair and unbiased, but he could get more of a fair shake if he went to the federal system, maybe that's how he could do that. But, you know, as on the merits, I think it's a better tactic for him to stay in state court, because the Manhattan DA is trying to bootstrap that federal claim onto the state claim. And if he can just play hardball with him and say, no, you can't do that, there's only jurisdiction here to consider the state claim, and the statute of limitations has expired a long time ago, I think, you know, legally, you should have a much stronger case of being able to get that thrown out.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, one thing I have seen before, though, is I'm pretty sure the DOJ, if they wanted to, could insert themselves and remove the matter themselves, like basically take it on as a federal issue and remove it themselves. But anyway, you know, we'll wait and see. Right now, we have a sealed indictment. One report that I've got in my hands right now says that there are indications there could be upwards of 30 different charges. Now, what I don't know is, are they stacking them? Like, basically, it was like a report that wasn't filed correctly, and every time they filed a subsequent report, it created a new charge. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if we got 30 separate issues that the world's not really seen much of yet, or do we have just a series of reports, and each one you filed was subsequently wrong because the first one was alleged to be wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be like that. I've seen stuff like that before in different contexts. Back when I was on the Alabama Supreme Court, there was one group that I think will remain nameless that used to, you know, do stuff like that. That I saw. I'm just left me shaking my head, you know, all the time. So that could be going on here, but we'll see. But yeah, I think. Yeah, I saw those reports that they could have up to 30 different charges against him. So unless there is a mountain of pretty damning evidence that we just don't know about, and I find that to be unlikely.
Yeah.
I think it's probably more like what you just described. And if that's the case, that just adds to, you know, what we were talking about, saying this prosecutor needs to have ethics charges filed against him because this is a bad faith prosecution. It's frivolous, and he needs to be held accountable for this.
Well, you know, I completely agree. And that's where I go back. I mean, when you've got a prosecutor who has openly been portraying himself as the guy who's going to get Trump and even ran for office on the idea of getting Trump, and he takes on a case that had already been turned down by the DOJ and his predecessor, and I believe a U.S. attorney, and then he also didn't pursue it. But then when he got pressure, he decided he better go ahead and pursue it because he said he would. That whole scenario right there just reeks of retaliatory prosecution.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, the timeline was that you really don't need to be that smart, you know, to be able to look at that backstory and say, this does not smell right at all. I'm not a lawyer. I'll have legal training. But common sense just screams that this is off. It's a political prosecution, and this should not be happening in the American justice system. So I agree with you completely, and I think really the only people that are rooting for this prosecution to succeed are the folks that suffer from Trump derangement syndrome, who just have this irrational, visceral hatred for the former president because he says mean things, you know?
Yeah.
That's the only reason why people are rooting for this.
What they don't realize is that unless they can speed up the prosecution's efforts, Trump could bind this thing up with motions and discovery and everything else long enough to go ahead and run for office, because an indictment does not prevent him from running for office. Conviction of a felony would, but even that's a far cry down the road. And I doubt for a second that a billionaire who's got all the resources in the world to pay a legal team is going to plead to anything.
Yeah, I agree completely. Shortly before calling into your show, I was just looking for updates, and I think Trump's lawyer issued a statement this morning saying he is not going to accept any kind of plea deal. He's committed to fight this. And I think that's exactly what we expect to see out of Donald Trump. He's a fighter. And I think, you know, from what I'm seeing so far, I think he's, you know, this case is meritless. So he should fight it rather than accept a plea deal.
Yeah, I think he's going to have fun with it, to be honest with you. All right. Matt Clark from the LMS Center for Law and Liberty. Man, thanks for spending some time with us. If you want to tell folks where to find you, go ahead.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Phil. If you guys want to know more about us, our website is alabamalawandliberty.org, and we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Law and Liberty AL.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Phil. You too.
All right. Boomer, take us to the break, man. We'll take the break. We'll come back, talk about it a few more minutes, and then coming in at the bottom of the hour, Stephanie Smith. We're going to switch gears on this and talk about it from the political side. So Matt Clark and I just dissected it from a, you know, legal view. What about the political view? How's it going to help or hurt or even impede potentially the election system? We'll talk about it. Stephanie Smith, bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I got a couple of pieces of breaking news I'll jump in and tell you, one of which relates to our topic. But the first, I'll just say, watch the weather. Man, it's ugly over in Arkansas and sweeping its way across. We've got tornadoes touching ground, and I think in the Little Rock area. And I just saw a video feed on one of the screens here in the studio. It's a big one. So blessings on our friends in Arkansas. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, new governor there. She's going to have her hands full here, it looks like, for the next few days. Anyway, there's that. And then the other piece of breaking news is that as we speak, former Vice President Mike Pence is on with Neil Cavuto. He's been on for an extended interview. It looks like he's been on there for at least 10 minutes. That's a pretty extensive piece. But he just made his first, that I know of, first public statements about the Trump indictment, talking about it being malicious and political prosecution. So what I've seen so far, the only one I've not seen so far, I have not seen Mike Pompeo say anything, although he may have on his social media. I've not seen Nikki Haley say anything yet, although she may have, and I'm not aware of it. All I'm saying is Ron DeSantis came out quick. Vivek Ramaswamy came out quick. Mike Pence is out. We're basically hearing other Republican candidates, even though they would benefit from Trump not being in the race, they are decrying this, and rightfully so. They need to. They can't sit idly by and be quiet because that ain't going to work. But they also, I think, are justifiably irritated with it, too. I mean, the whole thing is just turning the legal system on its head. And not only that, the political system on its head. Who does this? Who goes after political candidates like this, knowing full well that all you're trying to do is take down someone from running for office? It boggles the mind. But that being said, we're going to talk about the politics side of it here in a moment with Stephanie Smith, who's now president of the Alabama Policy Institute. And Will, Reader from Scottsboro has texted me and said, did Mitch McConnell say anything yet? I have not seen that, although I will say Mitch McConnell just got out of the hospital, so I don't know what his status is right now, Rita. But it's possible that he's issued a statement. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go look for people's statements. I got a caller, Boomer. I tell you what, I'll take that real quick because we're going to run out of time. Gary from Huntsville, line one, how you doing?
Hey, I'm well, Phil. Quick question on the Trump thing. I'm not a lawyer, nor am I an accountant. However, we've got to remember that his longtime accountant, has pled guilty and is cooperating. By the way, I'm a Trump supporter.
Okay.
But I'm going to be devil's advocate for a second. What if that accountant says, hey, I know that these payments were not properly accounted for on his tax returns to the state or the city, whatever, municipality, and that's how you get your 34 counts or 30-some-odd counts, and then the prosecutor can weave these together into RICO, which would be a felony, I suspect.
Yeah, I mean, all that is potential, and when they unseal the indictment, we'll know for sure what they're doing. Now, I will say this. If Trump had every reason to reasonably, the law would call it reasonably rely on his CPA who was doing the books, or to reasonably rely upon his former attorney, Cohen, and they did something wrong, then he has a right to claim malpractice and his own innocence is, and you know, they're the firewall. But, hey, man, my music's playing. That means I go into a break. Appreciate the call, Gary. Thanks very much. All right, you guys stay tuned. I mean, Boomer, I have not touched a single resource yet. Just blazing on.
Just blazing.
We're coming right back with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. We will be right back. You Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. From way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, even though we cover all that kind of ground, we still have listeners elsewhere. Like I just saw that Rayson from Hawaii just tweeted in or texted in. He's listening to the show right now. Appreciate you, Rayson. Shout out to you out there in the Honolulu area. So thank you very much for what you do out there. All right, let me do this. We're going to the phones. So we're staying. I'm still on number one. I'm calling it lawfare. Number one of the triple dipper, lawfare. The idea that you're going to weaponize or go to war with the use of the legal system. That appears to be what we're dealing with. But let's talk about it from a political standpoint. And to do that, I want to bring in somebody who's been doing policy and politics around the state of Alabama for a long time, having worked for the previous Governor Riley administration, been in legislative affairs in both the corporate arena and also the chamber. And she's now the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. And that would be my friend, Stephanie Smith. Stephanie, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. I'm great.
Good.
How are
you? I'm good. I'm good enough. How about that? Appreciate you making some time. You just got back from time off with the kids, I understand?
Florida road trip. And it was fun. We Tampa, Orlando, Cape Canaveral, and St. Augustine.
Good Lord. Well, so do y'all RV in it, or are you just driving?
We took two cars.
Because you got like 19 kids.
We're not really concerned about our carbon footprint, so we took two cars so that we could be somewhat comfortable. Well, but not all of them. My Auburn girl didn't get to go, so only the six kids.
Oh, okay, only the other six. Well, I feel certain that you're rested and refreshed after that. I feel sure.
I am. And no laundry to do at all.
Oh, none. Well, listen, stepping right back into the role, you came back just in time for the indictment of the former president of the United States.
I know. I saw it come across the wire when we were on the way home yesterday. Wow. And, you know, it was expected last week.
Yeah.
And then didn't happen. So I'm pretty well aware of the implications of it. The first thing that really I started thinking about, even last week when this started getting talked about, you know, in earnest, was just kind of the shift politically of where our country is with the hyper-politicization of everything and now including the politicization of the legal side.
Yeah.
It used to be that was really hands-off, and hands-off of former presidents.
It's unreal.
The precedent that's being set here is a little dangerous.
It is. The hyper-politicization was a great term. I mean, I think right now if you went out there and said, "Do you love your mother?" they would say, "Define mother." It would become a thing. You know what I mean? But
that is too true. Yes.
Well, so let me ask you this. Politically speaking, what does this do? I mean, I think right now there's a sense in my mind that the Democrats are almost like rabid, like scratching and clawing, getting anything they can, and like this is going to make something happen for them. Is it? Is this going to help if they get an indictment like this, and they're able to follow through on it?
I think it depends on your perspective, and you know, just like I know from being involved in politics for a long time, you know, looking at something political, you really have to look at it like it's an onion and see what's at the core and then all of the different layers that are on top of it, because there's kind of one school of thought is, you know, from the Democrat point of view is, okay, he'll be indicted, he'll be convicted, he'll be persona non grata, and we'll be rid of him forever, right? Then there's the other school of thought, which is the complete other side of the coin, of the I hate Trump coin, which is we'll just vilify him like we have, you know, for the past however many years, and that will make him a martyr, which will guarantee him being, you know, the Republican nominee, and then we beat him. And so I think that from the Democrat side, they see this as a win-win.
So
from the Republican side, I think it's a little different. I was just going to say, from the Republican side, it's a little different because there are a decent number of I hate Trump Republicans as well.
Yeah, well, there are never Trumpers. They're still out there.
They're definitely still out there, and there are a lot of them in the D.C. area, still there. But I also think So I think from the Republican side, it's a little bit different because there are a certain number of never Trumpers that are like, okay, fine, get rid of him. But then there are some that I think see what I actually think will end up happening, which is I think this energizes his campaign.
Yeah.
I think this makes him the talk. I think this makes him the focus. I think everybody else, and this sounds almost silly to say out loud, but I think it's true. I think it makes almost every other candidate look like a wimp because it's like, oh, you're not even doing anything for them to arrest you for. Like you're so milquetoast. They're not even after you. They're after me because I'm the man. You know what I'm saying? And so, and there's some validity to that.
Fighting corn pop with a chain.
the whole tough guy, you know, the whole tough guy shtick that he's had, you know, and he, you know, the street fighter, the New York street fighter mentality that he's fighting for the country and everybody else is just a politician. I think that ends up helping him in the long run.
So I'll tell you, I said yesterday briefly when the news broke, because we were towards the end of the show when the news broke, but I anticipate that Trump's going to take his own mugshot, put it on a direct mail piece for his campaign and send that sucker out and say, look at there. I think he's going to actually use the imagery and the visual of this whole thing 100%. To his advantage.
Well, and I did hear earlier this afternoon that that his folks had made an agreement that he would not be in handcuffs. But that actually surprised me because I'm like you. I would think that he would want, you know, a photo in handcuffs, a photo, you know, the mugshot, being fingerprinted, you know, all of the mistreatment that he's receiving instead of him just kind of waltzing in, you know, going on his private plane from Mar-a-Lago to New York, getting off and, you know, driving as though he is still president to turn himself in and have it all be orchestrated. I would imagine that if he's going after this as a campaign piece, that he'll release all of those things. Now, you know, the irony of this is that this is all about campaign finance, and you cannot buy this kind of publicity that they're handing it.
No, they can't. It just... and I got news. What they don't recognize, or you know what? They have to recognize it. Why am I saying that? They have to recognize he's going to be allowed to do discovery on his side too, not just them. They get to take his deposition, I would assume. They get to, or at the very, not take his deposition because it's a criminal case, but they get to do discovery on their side. But he gets a chance to see everything they've got. And I guarantee you, he's going to find a way to let his attorneys say what they want to say. Now, Trump himself, you know, his attorney is going to say, please don't talk. Please don't talk about this. Because you never know what one wrong statement can lead to. But nonetheless, I do believe that he's going to wind up making hay out of it.
I agree. You know, and he's that's who he is. Love him or hate him. You know, that's who he is. And he likes to draw the fire unto himself. And then deal with it. And so I actually think he had done some things, you know, pretty recently. The superhero cards, and I mean, some of the stuff that he was doing, it was just kind of odd. And like, hey, you know, I'm out of the limelight. How do I get back into the limelight? And like I said, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, campaign finance? I mean, this is probably worth millions upon millions of dollars of free publicity.
Oh yeah,
for him and for his campaign. In that, most people will end up, I think, agreeing that this was a wrongheaded and political kind of prosecution.
Unless they mess up his hair for the mugshot, then we got a whole new.
Well, then he won't release.
He won't release it. That's exactly right. Alvin Bragg's over there. Quick, mess up his hair. Well, I tend to agree with you. I think he's going to use this. I think he's going to wind up making hay out of it. I think it's going to benefit his campaign, galvanize his base. And, you know, I love that. I think it's hilarious what you just said, that it's almost like he can look at the other candidates and go, you're a bunch of wimps. None of y'all got indicted for anything. What's up? Well, that's.
I mean, they've been after
point.
Him for years, and you know, I mean, how many times have we heard? Oh, well, when he releases his taxes, then he'll be arrested. When he does this, then he'll be arrested. When he does this, then, you know, and you know, they finally got somebody to come up with this sham kind of thing, you know, to go against him. But like I said at the beginning, the most interesting thing to me about all of this is the historical perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, remember when Nixon says, well, when the president does it, it means it's not illegal. You've got the Clintons, you've got the Obamas, you've got, you know, even in recent history, you've got people, you know, who have done some things that I would term as sideways that, you know, have not been prosecuted and have not been, you know, vilified in the way that Trump has been vilified. And he's going to use that to his advantage. He's a political animal and he's a fighter. And, you know, again, love him or hate him, it doesn't really matter. That's who he is. And he's going to use this to his advantage as best he can.
Well, and on the political side, too, you and I have both been involved in campaigns. Campaign finance reporting is a royal pain, but it has to be done. You got to report what you spent money on or who you got money from. And the reports get filed. But in the broad scheme of things, that's just like a low-level thing. I mean, you look at it and go, that's what you got? He didn't fill out his forms correctly and claim a payoff to a prostitute or a porn star as, you know, some benefit to his campaign? That's what you got?
Yeah, I mean, it really honestly sounds absurd, which, again, works to his advantage. The interesting thing will be to see, and I was listening to you, earlier, the interesting thing will be to see how the other already declared candidates on the Republican primary side handle this. I did see that DeSantis came out immediately. He got some fire last week for not immediately coming out when the rumor was flying around saying that he wouldn't be a participant in this process at all as the Florida governor. He did come out with that, I think, today or yesterday. You know, kind of a hands-off statement. And then, you know, lots of different candidates and Republican elites have come out to say one thing or another. It's always interesting to see, you know, how strongly people word their statements on things like this. Coach Tuberville put out, a very strong statement. I loved what Barry Moore said.
Yeah.
Did you see that? About
the ham sandwiches. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm always for, you know, addressing something that is absurd with humor. So I loved that aspect of it. As far as the political fallout, specifically in the state of Alabama, I think this gains him followers instead of losing followers.
I agree. I mean, I think that right now he already had the upper hand in terms of the polling. I think this gives him more impetus. And I mean, I think right now, and he can even, by the way, I've got an article here that says that he can run while under indictment. The only way that he could be removed is if he actually got convicted. So he can run under indictment. So and with the motion practice and discovery and everything else, if this thing doesn't get dismissed, he's gonna be all the way through the election time before they even get this thing to court.
Absolutely. Which then brings the next political question to the forefront, which is whoever he chooses as VP is even more important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like
so
for a lot
he
of reasons.
As VP. Yeah, there's a decent chance, you know, if this goes through, which I don't think it will, but if it goes through all the way through the process and he was somehow convicted, you know, then whoever the vice president is becomes very important very quickly.
Well, and it was already that way anyway because he's like, 78 years old, 77? You kind of think, of course, Biden didn't feel that way, but then again, Biden hadn't made a good decision about anything. He just went ahead and picked Kamala even though he's 80. Just whatever.
It's working out really well, though, Phil, don't you think?
She broke a lot of glass ceilings, so hey, there's that. All right, my friend. Well, get rested up over the weekend, get all the clothes washed, but get back into policy. We're glad you're back.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, sure will. We'll talk again, I'm sure. All right, have a great day.
Okay,
great weekend. That was Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. You can find out more about them and the work they do at www.alabamapolicy.org. That's alabamapolicy.org. All right, boom. Take us to the break, man. We'll take the break. We'll come right back and put a lid on this one. And then we're not even I don't – Boomer, am I doing dippers today?
I don't think this
I don't
is
know
a dipper
happening.
Day.
This is like a do the show as it goes day is what it feels like. We're coming back at the top of the hour with Boomer and McQueen. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. I'm not even going to get into all my resources here. I'll tell you a couple things that I've got in front of me, though, that things that you might want to find if you need to. You can go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Go to the live stream tab. That's where you can watch the show, listen to the show, but you can also click on the resources button at the bottom. And all of the dippers for today that we may not get to, some of them, are there with every single article that I rattle the paper for is linked. So if you want to go find a copy of something I've already talked about or send it to somebody else, there it is. All these things are up there right now, rightsideradio.org, live stream page, click on resources. But let me tell you about a couple things that are in here. Jonathan Turley, a Fox News contributor and Georgetown law professor, wrote a really interesting piece. It came out, I guess it was actually came out, I think it came out today, but the dates on this page look a little different. But anyway, the bottom line is this. He likened what is happening with Alvin Bragg's indictment of Trump to the Frankenstein monster. And what he's basically saying is he's cobbled it together. And then he actually has a quote from the movie, it's alive. That's what it says. This is just a Frankenstein monster of a case. This is the guy who is one of the most highbrow. I mean, like whenever he comes on and gives legal perspective, I pause and listen because every time he speaks, I feel like I'm gaining some kind of continuing legal education. But he literally says Bragg unearthed a case from 2016 and through a series of novel steps is seeking to bring the whole thing back to life, combining parts of state and federal codes. And then it gives a great explanation from there on about all the issues he's going to have getting this done. We do have that one other report on Daily Wire that says we don't know for a fact, but right now sources are telling Daily Wire that we have what are upwards of 30 criminal charges in the grand jury indictment. Still under seal. That's the way New York law works, apparently, is the indictment is given or is rendered under seal. The grand jury voted. They voted to indict. Apparently, they've been voted to indict on multiple charges. We'll find out for sure what the charges are. I don't know for a fact that we can even determine yet what kind of a sentence, like maximum sentence, the former president could be facing. I mean, this is technically a misdemeanor charge being ramped up to a felony, as far as we know. What's the penalty here? 30 days in jail? 30 years in jail? We have no idea. So there's that. Now, there's one other piece here that I thought was super fascinating. It gets into both the political and the legal ramifications. Fox News has a piece that came out today, headline, "What Happens If Trump Is Elected President While Under Indictment? This Is Uncharted Territory," is what it says. It says there are no constitutional restrictions keeping Trump from actually continuing his campaign and eventually moving back into the White House if he is elected while under indictment, which means the country is actually moving into unknown waters. Totally unknown. And the quotes go on to talk about in the story the fact that it's hard to imagine a sitting president would be taken into custody and sentenced to prison while serving. Would they then stay the sentencing until after he serves his term if he was reelected? I have no answer. Nobody knows because it's all brand new territory. Andrew McCarthy, former U.S. attorney, he echoed a similar sentiment, it says in the article. He says, anyone who tells you that they know what's going to happen is either delusional or lying, McCarthy said. We've never had a situation like this. I don't think the founding fathers ever thought there could be a situation like this. I think part of the reason they designed the Electoral College was to make sure something like this didn't happen, but you know, here we are. That's what he said. And it goes on to point out that even an average criminal case in New York can take from 6 months to a year to move from indictment to trial, meaning that it could easily coincide with the 2024 elections and into the next presidency. So we are in uncharted waters, my ruffian friends. We'll just have to keep watching, waiting, talking, and we'll do that for you right here on Right Side Radio. All right, coming up next, my favorite time of the week, Boomer and McQueen. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll be right back. right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, the local, the state, the national, even sometimes the international, covering down on all the issues like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. I actually had somebody text in one day and said, do y'all know who the dude is? I don't. I don't know who the dude was that gave us the voiceover on that.
We do not know the dude.
But I appreciate the dude saying what he said. Hey, this is that that time of the week, my favorite time of the week, which we had to move a day because apparently Boomer let McQueen go do things in other places, and I don't know how that works, but anyway, she's calling it in today. McQueen, are you on the phone?
I am here, and I'm laughing about Boomer letting me go do things in other places.
Well, in your honor, let's get the whoop-whoops. Go ahead and start off Boomer McQueen. There you go. All right. Oh, man. Well, we miss you, McQueen, just so you know. Boomer, he's been crying. He's been sitting in the studio just all
just
weepy.
Just bawling.
It's sad.
He's been very upset. Yeah, that's what I thought. No,
can't
I
dress himself in the morning.
Oklahoma.
Looks hungry.
No, I think him and Pax are having the best time. Pax, our son, said, Mom, we're just going to have boy time, so you can't come back. We're having boy time. So like, okay.
He told me they sat around the house the other night and watched Star Wars as loud as they could play it.
That's right.
Yes. Get it out of your system.
By the way, Boomer, that's quite the stylistic picture of her you just put up on the
Hey, that's what Google pulled up.
She usually comes in here with her hair in a knot, wearing her workout clothes. And there she is, like looking all like dressed up for going to Sunday meeting or something.
There we go.
All right. Listen.
Wow, thanks, babe.
All right, you guys, you know the deal. So I and for those of y'all that are tuning in, maybe for the first time on this one, Boomer McQueen. So these are two people that help run the show in the background. They do an amazing job. They're also husband and wife. They also have their own podcast, part of the Right Side Multiverse. It's called The Right Life. And they issue that pretty much every Wednesday. And that thing's going at gangbusters right now. So you might want to grab that podcast of The Right Life. But in the meantime, what we do here is we come in and I get the perspective of somebody else besides me. I listen to two people who I love who are about, 10, 15 years younger than me, and see what your thoughts are on something. So first question out the gate, who's going to take it? Boomer first?
I'll go first.
All right, here we go.
I need to hear the question.
Well, I am sorry. You just have to just take it as it goes. The question is this. So President Trump was just indicted, right? We've been talking about it, Boomer.
Yeah.
In your view, though, just you personally, is this more or less likely to help him get it reelected?
Well, I think he's going to revel in this and just enjoy every minute of it, because I see, you know, his face is going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire, so I mean, he could have it everywhere if he wanted to, but this is free for him.
He could buy more billboards than Alexander Shinara.
Exactly. Okay. So, and then what we were talking about earlier, he can just keep pushing it. What was the name of it? It's not appeals, it's
on the motion practice
motion,
and all that. Yeah,
all the motions that they can do with it. And
yeah,
I mean, again, his face is going to be everywhere. And what Stephanie Smith was saying earlier as well, he's going to be like, hey guys, what are you even doing?
Yeah,
I mean, they're actually going after me because I'm doing something.
I'm more important. They didn't even come after you.
that's the way I look at it.
None of y'all paid your porn star friends. None of y'all did that. Wrong with you
That's
guys.
Right. So I think it's gonna be good for him, and he's going to push it to make it good for him.
All right, McQueen, what do you think? So chime in here. President Trump gets indicted. Is this a campaign win or a campaign loss for him? Total politics.
I kind of agree that I think it's going to be a win for him. And, like, I don't think, you know, obviously he wanted this to happen, but, like, they throw everything at him. Like, he's been impeached, tried to impeach him twice. And it's like he just takes it and bounces back and is like, all right, you threw this at me. Watch me now. And I also think it's kind of in a way, or potentially could even unify some Republicans that, you know, are voting else or for other candidates. Because I think that they're realizing, like, holy cow, like, this isn't just about, like, liking Trump or not liking Trump or who you're voting for. But, like, this is about, like, America and being in a free country. And this is, like, I mean, this is a huge deal that, like, now this other, you know, the other party in power can do this to a threat, basically. So I feel like it really is going to help him. And from his supporters are going to support him that much more. But I think even other ones may, you know, kind of jump ship just because they're seeing what's happening in America, or it's really eye-opening even to people that didn't see everything going on kind of previously. So, I don't know, that's kind of my thoughts on it. But I didn't even really think of the fact that his face will be everywhere. So, yeah, that was a good call-out.
Yeah, I said earlier to Stephanie Smith that I'm not going to be a bit surprised if he doesn't take his own mugshot and put it on a million direct mail pieces and send them all to everybody's houses around the nation.
Just, yes. Is he going to wear his MAGA hat?
They're not allowed to wear a hat. Yeah, okay, there we go. They can't. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he won't want to do that because it'll mess up his hair.
Oh,
so,
right,
yeah.
Right.
We only wear the MAGA hat when you control the flow of the situation. So, all right. Well, we'll see. Go ahead.
And one of his opponents, like the Vivek, you know, his one of the other candidates, like had a really awesome, I felt like, interview about it, saying, like, this isn't even about, you know, defending Trump. This is about defending principles of this country, because if they can do it to him, they can do it to anybody. Yeah. And I just thought that was really cool seeing someone stand up and say that. So
yeah, wow. Yeah, great comment. You're right. You were absolutely right. And he's right. And he was the first out the gate. I think Vivek Ramaswamy was the first one out the gate on, like, decrying this. Somebody just sent it to me, by the way, Boomer, I'll tell you, I think it was Dennison from Athens sent me a screenshot. Mike Pompeo has come out and said something about it. He made no bones about it. It's political prosecution. So, all right, you guys, we'll move to the next question while we have a moment here. So this one, if we don't have time, we'll lap over to the break. But so, tragic situation, and you guys are from Nashville, and I know the Covenant School shooting kind of almost has a little bit of a personal feel to it, because you guys were familiar with that school, kids y'all coached. Went to that school. But here's my question for you. As a parent yourselves, as a parent of school-age kids, what do you do or ask or look for when it comes to school safety for your kids? When you start questioning or want to go ask the principal or headmaster or whatever, what are you looking for? What are you asking about? And I'll start with you first this time, McQueen.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is definitely eye-opening, just kind of in terms or related to just safety, because that's not something I necessarily asked right away. You know, I was more worried about what was being taught in the schools and just more the, you know, the content of the schools as opposed to that. But it does definitely make you think twice. But I think you can choose the school that's the safest, has the most safety, you know, procedures and protocols in place. And it still does not mean that you're, you know, immune to just the evil out there, or just things like, you know, things like this happening, which is so sad. I mean, we saw, you know, in all the footage that this shooter, you know, shot right through the locks on all the doors. And, you know, so here we think we have this really safe school that's, you know, on lockdown, and, like, nobody can access it, and all the, you know, intercoms and video surveillance everywhere. And you have to have special, you know, we just can't all walk in the doors. And it's like that just this, what happened this week just shows you that doesn't necessarily matter, which is really scary. But, you know, we also know we can't live in fear, because if we could be fearful of absolutely anything and everything, and saying that, well, I'm going to homeschool so that my kids are home with me because that's going to solve the problem, that's not going to solve the problem. So, I mean, I think definitely as a parent, doing your due diligence and seeing what sort of procedures are in place and, you know, how they're going to handle an emergency, and knowing, you know, we saw that these kids that were in these classrooms and the way the teachers, how they reacted when this all, you know, went down earlier on Monday. They knew what to do. You know, they knew how to hide. They knew where to go in their classroom. So, like, they clearly had practiced these, you know, for these sort of situations before, which I hate. Like, I hate thinking, like, my five-year-old has to go practice how you react and how you, what you do in a, you know, a dangerous situation like this. But at the same time, they need to be prepared. So, Yeah, those are, I guess those are kind of my thoughts, but it does make me think a little bit deeper on safety of, you know, the schools more so than I did previously, especially with this hitting so close to home.
It's all right, Boomer, jump in. We got about a minute and a half for the break. I mean, okay. she nailed it pretty good, yeah. But yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm not going to breathe. I said that all in like one breath.
No, yeah. That was good. That was good stuff.
I'm just going to, I'll be brief on it. I would like to know going into it, knowing what protocols they kind of have. Like, are your teachers learning something, you know, to do, you know, to in those situations, do they have a plan?
Yeah.
You know, I would like to know, all right, is there a security person on staff or there?
Like an SRO or something?
Like an SRO. Is there one there? You know, obviously I'd like to know, are there arms in place? Are there teachers or, you know, a faculty member that has that there, you know?
Yeah.
Just those things, but also to mimic what McQueen said as well, how devastating that was. We still can't live in fear. I don't want my kid to go to a place that looks like a jail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Still want to play on the playground.
Still want them to be able to play. I want them to be able to be kids.
Yeah.
And that's such a hard thing to say too. I mean, and think about.
Well, it is. And it, you know what? You have a right to expect that, because you have a right to expect that people won't go into a school and shoot it up. You have a right to expect that. We're a nation of laws. We're not a nation run by the Taliban where they can come into school and seize little girls, which they used to do over there. But yeah, it's, I totally agree. I think you guys are right. I think you're nailing it. This is what parents should do. They should ask the questions. They should satisfy themselves that procedures are in place. And if they're not, ask why not.
Right.
Which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a state law says that public schools in Alabama doesn't demand that private schools do, but private schools should follow suit, should have emergency plans, and they should practice them.
And the one thing that I was so proud of hearing was that that school had a plan, and those teachers had a plan, and those kids practiced something, and they did what they were supposed to do.
I think that the police officers saved a lot of lives.
Yes.
From what I hear, though, I think the teachers also saved a lot of lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Agreed. I'll tell you what. Listen, McQueen, hang on the line. We're going to take a break right now. We'll take the break. Boom shakalaka. All right. Take us there. We'll come right back. I guess we're going to the next part that I always fear a little bit, where you guys get to ask me a question. All right, Boomer and McQueen, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we're going right back, Boomer and McQueen, and this is that time of the segment where I wait with bated breath while one of them takes a turn asking me a question about whatever's on your mind. So I guess
I'm going to go. Since I went first, I would like to go again.
By the way, I do have to say this real quick before you do that. McQueen, I hear you in the background. You got to come home soon. I mean, he hadn't washed your – your son hadn't had a bath since you left.
He stinks.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's letting him eat candy for breakfast. I mean, it's just awful. All right.
I'll be home on Sunday.
Okay. Oh, Lord. All right. So, boom, you got the question?
I'm going to go. Okay. So, I'm going to get your thoughts on Trans Day of Vengeance.
Oh, Lord.
And they were going to have the Trans Day March or whatever, March 31st through April 2nd in D.C., complaining about all the horrible words and hate the world is giving them. What are your thoughts?
I got lots of thoughts.
Trans Day lasts 3 days. That's wrong.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go. They it's like every day's Trans Day lately, isn't it? But
yes.
Okay, what are my thoughts? First of all, how dare they feel like it's okay to declare a trans day of vengeance. Mm. I mean, what if we had the pro-life day of vengeance or the conservative Republicans march for vengeance? You know, it would be, we'd have the FBI coming down on us as domestic terrorists. That was so, but they're okay with it. So they can go ahead and say, we're going to have the trans day of vengeance. Now, I will be honest, it's going to be a clown show. I don't expect a whole lot out of them. You got to look at it and go, I mean, I've seen some videos on TikTok and things where you look at it and go, you know, if there ever became a civil disorder, I'm pretty sure we're going to win. But that being said, it's still absolutely asinine that they would declare something like a trans day of vengeance. And what do they have to cry about? They're the ones that chose a lifestyle, and it's not like they were born a certain way. And, you know, when people make fun of the three eyes they were born with or something like that, or, you know, whatever, there's no physical deformity. They chose a lifestyle, and now they wonder why people take offense, because you're offensive. You want to do drag queen story hour with little kids? Stop.
Exactly.
But I did see, by the way, there was one report. I think it's actually Daily Mail that reported that they've canceled the event. I don't know if it's true or not. They've canceled the event because of credible threats to their safety. Let me make sure I'm clear. They're going to have Trans Day of Vengeance, but it got scary, so they went home. That's what I'm hearing.
It got scary.
Got scary, so they went home. The whole thing's it's absolutely ridiculous. But do you have a question for me as well, McQueen?
Well, I do. Just all the, you know, there's just so much stuff going on with Trump, and I just would be curious on how. I mean, I know we don't know for sure, but how you kind of foresee the next near future playing out with the indictment and upcoming trials, or kind of what you would think that would look like, especially with him campaigning.
I think it's going to take forever.
Boomer says he's going to stretch that sucker out. Yeah. I think it's going to wind up being a circus. It's going to be a legal circus. It's going to be like the OJ trial, times two on steroids, but it's going to, I think it's going to wind up, starting off with a lot of hoopla next week. I think there'll be a mugshot on TV. I think Trump will enjoy his perp walk. He'll be waving at the crowd. There'll be a lot of supporters in the street actually taking pictures of them, you know, selfies of themselves with Trump doing the perp walk in the background.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Alvin Bragg is going to have a hard time being allowed to go out to eat anywhere in New York City for a while. But overall, I also anticipate that immediately there'll be a motion to dismiss. Immediately following that, there'll probably be a motion to change the venue. If they don't get it dismissed, and then there'll be potentially a motion to recuse, ask the judge to step down and get another judge. If they don't get it changed to the venue, and I suspect then it'll settle down and it'll be quiet, and CNN will talk about it every day, and Fox will touch base on it once in a while, and then we'll get back to life as we know it. But it'll pop up once in a while at that point. That's what I anticipate is going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. McQueen, you are missed.
Well, I miss y'all, too. I do.
Well, you don't have to say that to me. Just say it to your husband.
She's having a time. She's having the best time. It's okay. I understand. She needs that
time. But I am. I'm in the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma. It's crazy. Like, the winds have been 50 miles an hour today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I told Boomer he got all the points. He let you go on a trip. The baby is with the grandparents and won't remember, and he's having big daddy time making memories with the little guy. So he's getting all the points.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, you take care. We'll see you soon. All right. Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back, move into the last part of the show. I'm going to get maybe one more dipper done. Stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about from way down south of Birmingham. Our signal goes up north of Huntsville. Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, and parts of Georgia and Tennessee and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, watch the weather, by the way. Letting you guys know as we get towards the end of the show here. A lot of you guys are in go-home mode. The weather is really looking ugly up there in the Huntsville, Decatur listening area starting to turn. So keep your eyes on the weather. Have a weather plan in place. And it has already slammed parts of Arkansas and Mississippi pretty hard. So anyway, be aware. I will also say, too, that Representative Barry Moore has just put on he made ham sandwiches to give away at his office. Because the old saying is, you can indict a ham sandwich in front of a grand jury if you want to. So I got a picture here on his social media where he's got a ton of ham sandwiches, and on the outside of each one of the Ziploc bags, it says, "Indict this." And he's giving them away in D.C. That's funny. Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you, too, it's Friday afternoon. So tomorrow morning, give yourself a treat, all right? Maybe instead of waking up in the morning on a Saturday, messing up the kitchen with the usual bigger breakfast than usual on a Saturday, or for that matter, just having like the biscuit in the drive-through. Let me suggest to you that Just Love Coffee Cafe is where you might want to go on a Saturday morning. You get on down there, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville, and they got stuff like, they got the womlet. It's a giant omelet they cook in a waffle iron filled with everything in the world to include, by the way, tater tots and all that kind of stuff in the omelet. Then they've got biscuits. They've got waffles like you would not believe, lots of waffles. Just picture that breakfast with a big cup of cappuccino or a latte or an espresso or just some of their award-winning dry roast coffee made fresh. So I'm just going to say, Just Love Coffee Cafe on a Saturday morning might be the winning plan. Check them out. Two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right. Hey, listen, moving forward here a little bit, I will tell you I got a bunch of text messages. I'm not sure I can get through. Boomer, is it possible it'll be a single dipper day?
Could it be?
I don't know.
Maybe.
This is, I find myself confused by this. But you know, it's a heavy topic day, man. John from Huntsville just texted in and says, I want a ham sandwich. Can't help you, John. Go to see Representative Barry Moore up in D.C. He's got him. He's giving them out. Rayson from Hawaii texted in and just said, Aloha, brothers Phil and Boomer and Sister McQueen. Appreciate you, Rayson. Thanks very much. Jeremy from Huntsville says, when it comes to children and firearms, irresponsible parents are the cause of inflating numbers. School shootings are a horrible, horrible tragedy. Even though the spotlight has shined on the school incidents, they are a tiny percentage compared to accidental shootings. Force parents to be responsible by increasing the penalty for not keeping firearms out of the reach of children. Why are we so focused on the unpredictable? Yeah, it's a great point. It gets down to how do you enforce that, though? See, here's the thing. Tell people they have to have their guns under lock and key, which is not a bad idea. I do. But at the same time, how do you enforce that? Do you go knock on their door and say, we need to see your firearms? I guess you wait until the tragedy happens and then prosecute them for not having done it. But, it gets down to the point that how much government micromanagement are we supposed to have? And that's the question. Brian from Huntsville says, murder ball used to be dodgeball with your backs against the wall. I don't know why he's telling me this. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Oh, but he did also say, too, he's the one that earlier said, too, he wants to have a ruffian picnic someday. Jeff and Dan need to be there. And he says, oh, by the way, we need Kareem to be there, too. So, okay, good enough. Anita from South Huntsville. She says, word on the street is that school systems are also having a hard time finding recruits for resource officers, just like the police. So if there are any retired military and law enforcement officers that want to sip coffee all day and high-five kids in the halls out there, I can't think of a better semi-retirement job. Anita, that's a great point. So interesting thing is most SROs are actually law enforcement officers currently on paid status. They're usually either deputies or city police that are assigned to the schools. Occasionally you find them where they share a school, like they go back and forth between two campuses, especially if they are side by side. But wow, it's you know, it may be a time to start looking at how can we vet people, ensure they have skills, and let them be in semi-retirement or even just give them a stipend or something and come in and you know, work as SROs. I don't know. It's a thought. David from Huntsville texted in. Oh, he already did that one. That's he wants the Republican presidential candidate to be somebody else besides Trump, he says. No more drama. John from Brownsboro. This is a lot of texting. I can't get through all of it. I have to come back to that. It's like one big long text, one short text, another. Anyway, okay, all said and done. John from Brownsboro, thanks for participating, and I'll have to read your text later when I have time. TL from Huntsville says, looking forward to what McQueen will win for her bracket, what swag McQueen will win for her bracket. And no participation awards, he says. I mean, unless it's right side socks. Thank you for remembering the right side socks, TL. I appreciate that. Yeah, by the way, you can go on our website, rightsideradio.org. There is a place. I always forget to say something about it, but there is the Right Side store on our website. And among other things that you can look at and purchase, you got coffee mugs, you got all kinds. Right Side socks. There you go. Check them out. Dan from Rogersville. If Trump becomes president again, then he gets convicted, then he will possibly not be president. So then if he goes to prison, does the VP become president and pardon Trump? And then does Trump come back to be president? That is a very likely scenario.
I was about to say, is that like that's who he's going to choose as his VP? As long as they say they would do that.
Right, that's a criteria. Yeah. This is
wow.
And Dan also says this is definitely uncharted waters.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I could see that happening. I actually could. I could see President Trump. Let me take it back. I don't see him getting convicted, to be honest. But if he did, if he did, and he made it all the way to office, then yes, whoever is VP would have to take over because a felony conviction prohibits you from serving as president. But then I could see it. Trump is like en route to jail, or maybe he's there for a day playing golf in a white collar jail. And then the word comes down that the new vice president / president has just pardoned the former president, and Trump gets out and goes to the house. Goes back to Mar-a-Lago. Alex Mathens says, ruffians are going to need to ruminate on this one. Says, a president reelected while possibly facing jail time. Please put extra butter on the popcorn. I agree. Kevin from Hartsell, follow the money. He says, how much and where possibly is this prosecutor's bank account in play for Trump? Well, the money he got came from Soros. That's how he got it funded. A lot of people say he's trying to raise his profile to run for something else like state attorney general or something like that. Who knows? Greg from Harvest says, go stack up Ron as the VP, and then it's a win-win. Will he do it, though? Right now, you've already got – I just watched a minute ago during the break. They call themselves MAGA PAC is the name of it. MAGA PAC, which is the Make America Great Political Action Committee, is already running negative ads against DeSantis, like trying to drive his numbers down, I guarantee you. Jeff from Indiana says, right side socks are a good advertisement when the guy in the stall next to you needs to share a square. That's funny.
That's funny right
Jeff
there.
Jeff must be on pain medication for his tooth right now. Brad from Limestone County says, one branding suggestion. On those rare days that you get this one dipper, just call it the Big Dipper. That's really good. This may be a big
That's really day. Good.
I mean, I was literally thinking about just jumping right in because I've got some good stuff sitting here, and it's in front of me. It's all highlighted and ready to go, but maybe it's just a Big Dipper day. A Big Dipper day. It was a big fat dipper, too.
Big Dipper
day. A honking dipper. Big old honking dipper. John from Huntsville, Texas, then again says, Donald Trump reminds me of Rocky Balboa because even though he's getting old and people think he's got nothing left, in reality, he's still got a lot of fight in him. That's all right, there you go. Good stuff. And JT from Lacey Springs had to chime in on the dipper. He says, well, a dipper day is better than a no dipper day. Have a safe weekend. Thank you, JT. Appreciate you.
Thanks, JT.
JT's is awesome. All right. Okay. Hey, listen, that just rode us right to the break. I tell you what, as we're heading out, let me just tell you, ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions been with us since the very beginning. ZLA Solutions is epic good at what they do, which is helping you make your business better. So if you personally are looking for a job, you can go on their website, zlausa.com. They got jobs posted everywhere. But if you're an employer looking for people, man, that's part of it. They do all kinds of things, but their bread and butter is still staffing, temporary and direct hire. They can find you the people, the onesies and twosies, or a full shift of folks. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions, check them out at ZLAUSA.com and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Time now, 4:50. I mean, we're in go-home mode. Some of you guys already out the door. Some of you got the keys in your hand. You can smell the barn. Listen, have an amazing weekend. Be safe. Watch the weather tonight because we got some serious thunder bumpers rolling through that have already made a huge disturbance other parts of the nearby states like Arkansas and Mississippi. So, yeah, keep a weather eye on the horizon and be careful out there. So listen, we got so much going on right now, and life gets hectic and crazy. But what I love is when you find out that there's people that you're not even seeing because they're just doing stuff, and they're just kind of like doing stuff right alongside you, and you don't even recognize sometimes they're there. One of those that I've become aware of most recently is the Elm Foundation, ELM. Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville. Elm Huntsville is just doing some crazy cool stuff to help people get back on their feet, to help people who are in a disadvantaged position to find the ability to become more marketable in the job market, to get their certifications, to build their resumes, to basically get off the streets, if you will, to find not just the ability to do something, but the accountability to help them maintain. And so Elm Foundation, a 501c3, they do what they do, but not by the government style, like throwing money at an issue. They're actually walking alongside people. Elm, ELM, stands for Expect Little Miracles, and I think that's just very cool. So, yeah, check them out. Their website is Elm, HSV, as in Elm Huntsville, elmhsv.org. And if you wind up talking to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would greatly appreciate it. All right, so this has been a full day, and I'll tell you, this whole thing with Trump is going to wind up unpacking over the next few days. Just stay tuned, because it's going to be a fluid situation. Some folks are already asking, well, what are the actual charges? We don't know yet. You would think they would, make that known. No, not yet. It's a sealed indictment, and I don't know why it's necessary for it to be sealed. I think in New York it must be some matter of supposed fairness to give the defense the opportunity to review it in full and to go from there. But we'll know next week, because the story right now that we have is that the Secret Service, which, by the way, he's still a former president. In fact, I can't help but wonder, if he went to prison, would he have to have a Secret Service agent standing by? That's a question. More uncharted territory. More uncharted territory.
Man, that secret, you'd have to go to jail too.
Or work there at least. Or work there. Yeah, standing outside his cell. But I don't think it's going to get there, to be honest with you. I don't. And so, yeah, God. Anyway, the Secret Service has apparently already coordinated with the District Attorney's Office and law enforcement in New York. Story that we have right now is that Trump will be heading to New York on Monday with the intent to turn himself in, so to speak, on Tuesday. The Secret Service has already made clear he will not be in handcuffs. I'm glad to hear it. They've already made certain that he's going to be treated with respect, and the Secret Service will be the lead on this situation. And that's as it should be. Their mission, their charter in this particular case, is to safeguard him. Doesn't matter whether you like him or not. I don't give a rat's hind end whether somebody likes him or not. You still treat him as a former president, who, by the way, is guarded not just because of what he did, but what he still knows and because of who he still is and because there are any number of people in the world that would like to take him out. So, the Secret Service will be in charge of that situation. We'll see that on Tuesday. And then Tuesday, we'll also know kind of where we stand. I would imagine the indictment will be unsealed shortly thereafter. And, I look at it and think, okay, how many charges could there be? One report we have says upwards of 30 charges. The frick? 30 charges. But here's what we may find out. It may be, because what they're claiming right now is that, and here's the weird part of it, they're claiming that he paid off Stormy Daniels and maybe another porn star who was a Playboy model or something. He paid off these two women. They're claiming he paid them off. He's saying it didn't happen. We're hearing that his attorney, Michael Cohen, actually paid Stormy Daniels at the very least. That payment, having them be quiet, having these ladies be quiet, was a benefit to the Trump campaign. Well, you can imagine. He's about to get, hopefully, elected. Last thing you want is the October surprise of the former porn star coming out saying, yep, I had an affair with president or with the president, the candidate. What am I trying to say? Candidate Trump. Thank you. Boomers are looking at me like, get your words. Cold medicine kicking in. But anyway, so all that to say, he made a payment, they say. Okay, he says he didn't make the payment, that Michael Cohen made it. Why would Michael Cohen do that? The story that we have is that Michael Cohen, who's already been disbarred and sentenced to jail time on a felony of his own, that Michael Cohen was desperately wanting a position in the White House, and he was desperately trying to keep Trump in good standing, and that he had been contacted about Stormy Daniels, and so he took it upon himself, using the retainer or something that he's provided, to pay off Stormy Daniels. I would imagine she signed a non-disclosure and a non... because he's not much of an attorney, obviously, but he's certainly not much of an attorney if he didn't get her to sign a non-disclosure or a non-disparagement, and yet she did anyway. Michael Avenatti, her lawyer, came out. Where is he? Oh, in jail. Michael Cohen. Oh, yeah, jail. And who are the two ladies? Porn stars. This is the case. But they're saying that Trump received the benefit of their silence for his campaign. And so having received the benefit of it for his campaign, it should have been reported as a campaign expense. That's the allegation that we have so far. Really? That's, you're saying this is an in-kind contribution at the very least that he should have reported? So I said earlier in the show, DA Alvin Bragg is a Soros-backed knucklehead who refuses to prosecute crime. He literally has said there are things he will not prosecute, one of which is prostitution. So you can pay for sex illegally in New York City and not face any ramifications from the criminal justice system. But you can't pay somebody to not talk about consensual sex in New York City without facing the possibility of being prosecuted. That's what we're looking at right now. You look at that and think, you can't make this crap up. By the way, I think we need to end it with, that's jackassery. Ooh, yes. Do you agree, Boomer? I do. I think it is. Hit it.
There it is.
There it is. The height of jackassery. Wow. Well, listen, it's going to play out, and we're going to see it. But you know what I think? I know it's easy to get down on this stuff. I know it's easy to believe that everything's rigged and the world's crashing around, and there are weird things happening, no doubt. I'm not denying that. There's weirdness everywhere we look right now. But I still believe this is the greatest, freest nation in the face of the earth, in the history of the earth. There is still more opportunity here for this to get straightened out than you would have in other countries. Name me another country where you think this could get straightened out as easily as this one can, purely in a legal sense. And so while I think it's wrong, and while I think it's unjust, and while I think it makes a mockery of the legal system or the profession of law, I also believe this. Still the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and I am not losing heart over it. I'm going to watch and wait, and I'm going to talk every single day, and we're going to get through this. You guys have an amazing weekend. Boomer and I are back here at 2 on Monday. We'll see you then.